Well, good evening. I wanted to share with you the nice to see you.
Thank you.
I've forgotten your name.
Jerry.
It's been a long time. Glad you're here. Let's do introductions around first.
Wendy,
Marie,
Jeffrey,
Jim,
Jeff,
Jerry,
Isael,
Angie.
Four guys with J names.
It's pretty hard. A Jeffrey and a Jeff.
You can just say hey you.
Hey you.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, I wanted to tell you that Giroux's idea of coming here on Sunday and meeting with me, sitting with the Quakers and expressing our gratitude happened on Sunday, and it was such an unusual feeling. It was all set up the way we fix it when we're done, with all the chairs facing each other. And then people came in with their boots and their shoes on, of course. Tromp, tromp, tromp. And it was just as I remembered, deep silence, and then somebody will speak, and then deep silence, and then somebody else will talk about gratitude or what that's happening in their life or what happened at school. And then there's more silence. And then at the end, everyone shakes hands in the traditional way and speaks more freely about their lives. It was very social, much more social than we do, but very sweet. And it was an opportunity to thank them for their generosity. We had to raise the rate because they didn't raise the rate year after year. It was the same little teeny piece of money that they asked every month from us. So we benefited tremendously from their generosity with this space. And they were telling about all the other groups that meet here, including a Sufi group that I didn't know about, and the Dharma Punks, and the Wednesday night Vipassana, semi-Vipassana group. I think they named six or seven different groups that benefit from this little room, beautiful little room. So that was lovely, and that was brilliant of Giroux to suggest it. And it was extremely welcome matter that he came with me, actually took me, and then took me home, and I'd locked both the doors of my house and had locked myself out. And so it was a dilemma that he solved by taking off his jacket and his sweater and crawling through the dog door. Little teeny dog door. He was a hero. He was just... So then we had lots of tea and lots of talk, and all was well. So we're going through this book. Have you been here since we were studying this? And we've gotten to number 37. Is that correct? We did the twist part last time, right? So this time is the don't make gods into demons, or don't make painful what is inherently joyful, according to Chogyam Trungpa. Or don't use the teaching to shine up your own image, basically. Don't perfect yourself in the name of the Dharma and walk around inside yourself with a sort of, I'm doing really good. It doesn't work like that. And that's just another element of self-aggrandizement, you could say, glorifying the self. And the Dharma is about giving the self a break, letting us just be what we are. The good and the bad and the smart and the stupid and the old and the young and all the different aspects that make up one being. There's so many pieces of us, and all of it is present. All of it is about to break out at any moment. We can be one way one moment and another way the next moment, and we can't really take credit for the good parts or blame ourselves for the bad parts either. If we're truly engaged with the Dharma, that's enough. That means we're trying already and trying hard. And we'll never perfect the system. It's not a perfectible system. It's a messy system. And if we attack ourselves or aggrandize ourselves, we're just creating another self out of the mix and living in more confusion. And so this exalted sense of being holy and feeling that we're special is what Norman was talking about. That's unnecessary. However, we do it. And it's really okay as long as we recognize it. It's our paying attention to what's actually happening in our mind rather than trying to gussy ourselves up in some kind of fancy way. Just notice when we're messing up, and just notice when things are going well. And be grateful for as much as possible. So that's this "don't make gods into demons," which is a very strange way of expressing it. But it does make some kind of sense, this trying to be special. It's a kind of life-saving feeling that if I'm special, maybe everything is going to be okay. But that isn't necessary. It isn't a necessary escape into a little dream. Everything's okay already, however it is. So the instruction is to go out into our life and see how this comes up. It came up with me meeting with the Quakers. I overdressed for one thing. I dressed like a lady going to church. And nobody there was dressed like that at all. They were very plain and simple. And so I gussied myself up way too much trying to be the Zen teacher or something. So I know what this is, and maybe you do too, in some way, in your life. Yeah.
Wendy, last week when you were talking about your Amazon experience during our Dharma talk, and I pointed out that it was samsara and so inherently flawed, I think that was more a gusting up of myself than pointing out anything useful to you. I apologize.
That's okay. Took it with the grain of salt that it was your experience. So far, it's been okay. The metrics are really for your own purpose, and the customer doesn't really see them, I have discovered. So if this person doesn't send in the complaint, the second buyer, I'm good. And it was a difficult decision, but I'm glad I decided to go with the person I had the interaction with, the negotiation, you know, to inject something personal into this impersonal format felt good. Well, I, for one, am not complaining one whit about any puddles. It's just magnificent to have all the spring. The inconvenience is well worth it.
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
Ah, fun. Well, I guess it is.
There's a little girl down the street from me, and she was all dressed up in a slicker and bright red boots, and every time there was a puddle, she'd go, bam, like that. Well, I could do that.
Traffic jams this morning, I believe.
Took a long time getting in
traffic.
Yeah, it was difficult.
That probably wasn't done.
Jeffrey?
Since we're on this weather theme, I drive up and down the Almaden Expressway in order to go to work. And there's a very large new development being made at, I guess it's 85, the expressway. And they're going to make something really huge. Apartments, perhaps, something. I don't know quite what the plan is, but there must have been 500 white seagulls, you know, gulls out in this area the other day. And if that wasn't good enough, all of a sudden this flock of Canadian geese came and just used the expressway. I came right down the expressway. And I got to drive, you know, watching it. And when I got out of work today, all the crows were out on the baseball field. And there's nothing like being at an elementary school and watch kids with brain. So when you're talking about the girl in the yellow boots, you know, watching about 800 of them navigate. I mean, they just love to go out for, they have, you know, teachers know what rain is when you have little boys and girls wanting to go to the restroom. Constantly, because they want to go out and, you know, play in the rain. But yeah, it's been wonderful. It's been so long since that kind of atmosphere has hung over us, and I think we're all thoroughly enjoying it on one level or another, or we should be. Certainly, I've done enough rain dances in the last six months that, you know, to promote it, so I'm very pleased. And it's very interesting because you find yourself going to the weather map, and I'm fascinated with rain totals, and I want to watch the Weather Channel. We're funny things, we human beings. That's where I am with all of it right now. You know, seeing if you can catch the moon through the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty glorious.
It is. Yeah.
I want to, talking about the rain, I want to be grateful for the smell of the rain. I'm really into scents. You know, the smell of the ocean, the smell of the desert, the city, which I don't care for as much, and then the rain, which just washes everything clean. You know, it builds up, crud builds up over a year, and then the rain comes, and all becomes clean again. So the smells of the rain is something I really, really enjoy.
It washes the air as well as everything. So that it was very hard to see for a while. The air was so dense with stuff. And then it was clear, just as clear as it could be. Beautiful.
And the state so desperately needed the warmth.
A lot of communities
in the drier parts live on their last well, and their last drop in that well. So it's a blessing, too, on top of everything else.
Absolutely. And the whole water table has been just almost disappeared.
They have already started drilling into geologic water, which doesn't recharge.
Right. And people didn't realize how serious it was. It's strange, until it got desperate, it wasn't really noticed. You just take water for granted.
We take air for granted.
Yeah.
No one notices it until it's not there anymore, literally.
Yeah.
No panic in between.
Yeah. Well, I think we've succeeded in not making gods into demons. I don't see it anywhere. I don't think we have to worry about it. And the very last one of this 6 points, the guidelines for, what do they call the 6 point? Disciplines of mind training. And then each one of these little numbers is one of the different disciplines. So there are not that many of them. Don't ponder others. Work with the greatest defilements first. Abandon any hope of fruition. That's a good one. Don't malign others. So it's just pointers about how it says point six and prajnaparamita, how to live in terms of wisdom. And that means being aware when we malign others. It's not about being perfect. It's about being aware of what we do when we do it as much as we can. And this last one, the last of point six, before we go to the guidelines, is don't seek others' pain as the limbs of your own happiness. So that's pretty intense. That's an awful thing to do. We just don't do that. Seek others' pain as the limbs of your own happiness. You hope somebody else will suffer so that you can benefit from it. And there's a lot of that in our culture. There's a lot of that in our mind, no doubt. But I don't see us building, as he says, our own happiness on the suffering of others. It's a very good pointer. It's a very good suggestion. It means not taking advantage of other people, not making your own happiness first, and letting others sort of fall by the wayside, and not expecting applause. Norman says, when we depend on praise, we've lost our center. And I think that's the essence of it. If we need other people to tell us we're okay, then we've lost ourselves. So that's our instruction for this next week, is to carry this one around for a while. It goes, this slogan is quite straightforward. You hope that somebody else will suffer so that you can benefit from it. It's a very simple analogy. If a member of the Sangha dies, you might inherit his or her meditation cushion. Oh yes, of course. Or if you are a Vajrayana practicer, you might inherit his bell and Dorje. We could expand on that logic in any number of situations, but I don't think it's necessary for us to do so. We should not build our own happiness on the suffering of others. Although it may benefit us if someone experiences misfortune, we should not wish for that and dream about what we could get out of such a situation. Happiness that is built on pain is spurious and only leads to depression in the long run. I think in many ways this whole yearning for happiness that is so much a part of our culture right now is extra. Making that our criteria or our goal takes us away, as he says, from our center. Takes us away from our real intention in life. That we're not here to be happy. We're here to do some work. And we've got lots of time and energy in which to do our work. Our biggest challenge is to keep in tune with what that is and carry on. Just go for it. So again, I don't find us in any way doing this kind of thing. But it's good to be reminded. It's something to pass on to our children. Though children often are wiser than we are. So, so that's our job this next week, is to just attend to how we are with others, which is what all of this is about, how we relate to others and where our sense of self comes from and how we project or do not project on others. So is there something to add to that, to encourage us? Or a suggestion? I think in the next little set that we can do it a few at a time. I think that will be helpful. It's about after meditation, post meditation, how we live when we get off the cushion and walk around and have to meet and live our life. And so there are many suggestions, also some of them not exactly relevant to ordinary life, or at least our life, but some of them are very useful. All activities, the first one is, all activities should be done with one intention. That's a very interesting one. All activities should be done with one intention, which is our first bodhisattva vow. We vow to save all sentient beings, which means be with all sentient beings. Allow ourselves, allow others, so that the whole thing is together. No separation. So think about it in those terms. That's been the essence of this all the way through. Self and other. What is self? What is other? How can we be with ourselves, with others? Questions?
You said we should do things with one intention. I'm gathering that you're meaning we should do all things with the same one intention.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the. Can you expand a little on that? What is the one intention? You said our bodhisattva vow, save all beings.
Well, the vow is to save all sentient beings, which means be open to all. Not just human beings, but trees and stars and motorcycles and everything that we encounter. That we don't separate ourselves. It's a vow not to separate ourselves from others, but to recognize that, in fact, we all belong to each other. We could say we're all in the same family. So that it's a blood relation, you could say, that you can't undo the connection. It's there. It's a given. So remembering that and living in terms of that is what that is about. Don't forget that the grumpy old guy down the street is our grandpa, you know, or that somehow he belongs in our life. Everything does. And we belong to everything. So we're not alone. Ever. It's a good question. It's a good... good thing to ponder as part of the self-other conundrum. It really is a conundrum. The way it feels is one thing, and then it can feel another way. There are a number of different ways of coming to it. From total separation, feeling very, very lonely and very far apart, to those moments when everything is at peace and therefore peaceful. Once we're connected, then there's no sense of disarray. Whatever this is, we belong. part of the story. Well, that's a good way to end. It's 8:00. Anything else?
Announcements?
Yeah.
December 13th, we have a one-day sit here on Saturday in honor of Buddhist enlightenment, Mohatsu. I'll be sending out the schedule on that. And we also wondered if there was any interest in last year, New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve, and New Year's Eve fell on Tuesday nights. So we observed them. This year we're not so lucky and they fall on Wednesday nights. So we want to know if there's any interest in meeting somewhere on Wednesday night the 31st and have a sit broken with a tea. The way we did it last year is we started at 9 and then sometime after 10 we had tea and treats, and then we came back and sat till midnight, and then rang the sounded the gong 108 times. So we could do that if there's interest, that we would like to calendar it soon.
When they do, I understand that means it would be in lieu of Tuesday, or we would have our Tuesday sit and then the
yes.
Wednesday thing is in addition.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Both.
Gotcha.
It's extra.
So, is there any interest in that?
Probably wouldn't come because I would have to drive back to Washington.
Yeah.
Oh, with all the drunk. No, you don't. You don't do that.
Yeah, time too.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll be out of town.
Pardon?
I'll be out of town.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people will change. Okay. So, Saturday will be our only event, 13th of December.
We can make that sort of a part of the new year also, maybe. It's close.
Okay.
Close enough.
Yeah, I think solstice celebrations in order too.
Yes.
If you want
yes.
To pop it
yes.
In.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Let's celebrate life.
Beautiful.
1 minute sit.
Yes.